Okay, we are a go, I think. Wow, a lot of activity up here to get it going. How's everybody doing in here and online? How you guys doing?
Good.
Good, all right. I'm really excited. You see how excited I am? So I thought I'm excited. Or do I just not? I need more coffee, actually, is what I need. But I'm going to start gulping this down. Anyone? Bueller? Bueller is like before your time, right? For most people. Ferris Bueller's day off?
No.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Anyone? Today, we will begin our class with one of the first name of God that is introduced in scripture. Let's say it together. Elohim.
Elohim.
Yeah, Elohim. Okay, so
Elohim.
Elohim. Oh, a lot of you guys can't do it, huh? Elohim.
Elohim.
Let us go to God in prayer. Hopefully it'll be an exciting class. Let's see what his word has for us this morning. Father God, I am excited to be here. I love to be with my brothers and sisters, and somehow if you would use me as an instrument that is holy and pleasing to you, if you would allow your words to speak through my thoughts and outputting through my mouth, Lord, I pray that your spirit would be our ultimate revealer this morning, and that your spirit would just feel free and at ease to work in a room of hearts that are welcoming and postured to want to receive from you. Father, we don't want to make light or waste the time that we've sacrificed to be here. And so, Lord, speak to us, God. Thank you so much for the opportunity to have the freedom to exercise the studying of your word together, the exploration of who you are. Ultimately, may that cause our spiritual wells to be full. Or full of you, and cause our relationship with you, Lord, to grow only deeper and sweeter. And Father, we know that everything that occurs here, every Sunday school, throughout the worship, Lord, if it is absent of you, Spirit, we would be meeting in vain. And so, Spirit, would you work upon every welcoming heart, Lord, and work powerfully, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name. Who was bothered by not praying in Jesus' name last week? Oh, that's Peter. He's not here. Good. Okay, so Elohim. Elohim means God, mighty creator. If you want to turn your Bibles, feel free to. If not, I'll have the scripture here for you. I'm still getting used to presenting the way Frank dictates that I present, which is through a, oh, see, I just messed it up. This. So I can't hit the X here. Okay. Yeah, I'm still getting used to presenting through a website. But let's read it together, and I'll ask one person to read God's word and have that, have the spirit working in your heart as you read. Any volunteer? I'm waiting for you, bro. We didn't have you last week, so like there's no volunteers to read. Read from the heart.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. and darkness was over the face of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. And God says, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day.
All right, thank you. Okay, so for those of you online, I'm gonna mess with this in class. Is this big enough? No, huh? It doesn't seem big enough.
Online doesn't seem that.
Online doesn't see this?
No, I don't. The main of the projectors.
Huh?
That's a good projector. No, okay.
But they don't see this. Online, can you guys see fine? Can you guys see this better? I don't even know. We'll use larger fonts. How about that in the future? Where's the first mention of God's name in these few verses? Pretty easy. Fourth word. In the beginning, God. This word here is the very first mention of God, and it reveals the very first name that is given to us in Scripture, which is Elohim. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And God, Elohim, said, let there be light. And there was light. Since we're not Hebrews, I won't use the guttural. Okay, that's what's called a guttural sound. Ugh. Right? Because then I'm spitting on my laptop. I'm spitting on Kai. Last week, I really enjoyed Frank's class. Because he said names tell us who we are and what we do. And in ancient cultures, whenever you introduced yourself and you gave your name, you're often sharing where you came from, who you are, who your father is, right? What's your background? A name tells us all the information that we need. It gives us a sense of who you are, who you're supposed to be, what line you're from, right? And so names reveal something. And what I want to do right now is let you guys read these verses again. So since it's small in our class, I'm just going to encourage everybody to open up a paper Bible or go ahead and open up your iPhone or Android, whatever device of choice you have, your iPad. Janine's got her iPad. Perfect. So read verses 1-5 again, or even go on a little bit more in Genesis 1. And what I want you to do is get into a group. And for those of you online, you're just going to have to, I don't know how to do the group things online. You're just going to have to, I'll mute you guys and you guys can talk amongst yourselves online. And what I want you to do is answer this question. What do you think God desires to reveal about himself as Elohim in the context of this first chunk of God's written word, right? So spend a little time in Genesis. Feel free to read through it. Every mention of God is using his name, Elohim. And so what do you think? And you don't have to be necessarily right or wrong. But what you're going to do is get into a group of 3 or 4 around you, and you're just going to try to guess at what God's desire is by introducing and revealing this first name in this context, right? And so go ahead and do that. Spend some time and then get into a group. If you're with a husband and wife and you're like, oh, I kind of want it, like if Kyle wants to be with the guys, you know, wife, don't be offended. You know, wife, just find another group. Or say no, don't leave me. So get a group and spend some time talking about that. Feel free to like read through Genesis 1 a little bit. And then just talk in a group around you, all right? 3 or 4 people. Okay.
So what do you guys think? What are some of the things that were brought up in your groups? What was brought up in the groups that could be right or wrong? It's just some observations. Why would God first introduce his name in this way? Why does it matter to God that it's showing these things as his first introduction? Yes, you guys just raise your hand.
One thing we parked on was just the first four words, "In the beginning of God," which is so awesome because establishing God at the beginning. And we also wondered, and probably the theologians here would know, in the original text, how many words was it established in the beginning? God, you know, was it like one or two words? Probably less than English. We thought that was really awesome. And then throughout the Bible, we have the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega. Like God established that beginning.
Interesting. So go ahead.
So to add on to what you said, you know, God is outside of the creation. He's always
God is outside of creation. Right. Okay. And in the beginning, he was there. Okay, that's big. Okay. So what is God revealing? Why would he reveal himself in that way? Why do you think? Oh, I didn't ask why, huh? I asked what. What does God reveal? And you guys already shared that. Okay. Girls over here. We're just gonna like move around counterclockwise.
You said like an establishment of like power.
Okay, God wants to establish his power. Good, yes, keep going. Yeah, that's good. Right, okay, so power. God wanted to reveal his power. Good. Anything else in that group? At least you're about to say something. It's like words are about to jump out of your mouth. I see it. You moved. What else?
It's just like
saying
how like he's like
mm-hmm. Right. How he's what did you say? How he's of everything, creator of everything. Okay. All right, good. This group here.
I think you're just gonna like address that, yes, authority.
Authority. You see that through the text in Genesis. Good. Anything else? Good. Oh, Peter's not moving too. He's like,
yeah, he's not breathing.
I saw your nose there. Like,
I think like the, I guess what I like thought was interesting, but I read Genesis 1 is that very like repetitive. So it always starts off with like, and God says, you know, whatever, and then right after, just, and so does that.
Right, right.
And I think.
What does that reveal?
Creation is like so like supernatural. So like humans like really like can't understand it. And so like I feel like there's like I guess like narrative is like almost like God's like dumbed down version for us to like understand.
It's like Cliff Notes version. Yeah. Right? It's like easy to understand, easy to read version, but still reveals what?
Definitely his like power over like nature. And like I think that's what like will stick out to humans when it, like you read this because it's something like not ordinary. So especially like the beginning stuff like the time. Like I guess one of the like classic like more like atheist things I always hear is like you know, how is God like all powerful, but also like like, where did God come from?
You know, mm-hmm. Like, where did God come from? Right.
Right. And, you know, all the Bible kind of has to say, said about that, like, in the beginning was God.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think it kind of implies that God isn't really, like, bound to these, like, concepts that we know as, like, time and, like, space.
Interesting. God is not bound to our concepts of time and space. That's big. Okay, good. How about in the back group there?
I think, well, we're saying that, like, God was showing his creativity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything was dark before.
Mm-hmm.
Black, dark, dark.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden he created light, and you could see everything. And there was never light before that.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, we don't think of that because we live with light, and light is so easy to come by. But when you're in darkness forever, light is an amazing thing.
So the concept of light, God's revealing something about himself that have to do with light, bringing light. Yes, good. Nice. Anything else? Yes.
Well, two things. One, the encouragement part that I got was that even when things were formless, void, chaotic, and dark, they were there.
Mm-hmm.
And present. So that was about encouraging me that he got a present. Another thing that I realized is that when he takes disorder and whatever, when he's putting things together and setting boundaries and delineating things, I feel like he already has a vision. Like, he's not just slapping things together to see what works. He's very intentional about, I'm going to separate this from this. I'm going to make this look like this and this. I think what it reveals to me is that God already sees the end, the vision. He's purposeful, and he's intentional with what he's doing precise, and not just randomly putting things together. Creative in the creative sense, but when I think creative, I just think, oh, just whatever I feel like. But like creative in the sense that, like, he's done things never done before, but again, he has such a very clear idea from this sense of what he's doing.
Good. Anything else to add?
I also thought it was really interesting. I noticed, like, what I felt that he was revealing about himself is that he is kind of the originator, and in the sense that he, in the first verse, there is a finality to all of creation. It's finished. He created everything. He created the heavens and earth. So it doesn't start, and then the second verse starts with the process of creation. Right? So he doesn't start with introducing the process of how the world came to be. He starts by introducing himself. Like, this is me, I finished it. It's almost like kind of Kai,
right.
What Kai said, he stands apart from the process of creation. He is the originator. And the first sentence has, like, finality, right? Then you can talk about how we get there and all that stuff, but it starts with right? So I thought that was pretty powerful.
So what is that reveal, in your opinion, that even in the first few, that ties with what Nancy said too, right? In the beginning, God created it all. And if there's a finality to that, like, he did it, what does that reveal? What do you guys think?
The only one is your God. The only one.
He's the only one. Right? There's no one greater. There's not one thing greater. You know, accumulating a lot of the things that you guys have said, it's great. I'm going to just do a check-in for the online group. Any comments there?
There's a chat.
Chat. Great.
So
I like Chet.
So the rest.
Huh? Chet. Okay. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Okay. I think God is introducing himself this way. It's very intentional. God wanted to establish himself as creator and had authority over mankind. Steve was the one who mentioned he is creator. Okay, good. That's cool.
And I hope you guys online could hear some of the rich dialogue coming from our class. Yeah, and I also asked the question why. So we'll leave this as kind of a question you could think about during this devotional week, right? I didn't ask the why as much as we spent time in our groups to ask, what do you think God was desiring to reveal about himself? You guys had some great expressions of that. This week, as you're at home, maybe you could circle and highlight that word. I don't know, can you do that on the website? No.
I think you can.
You can. So highlight that word, why. Why would God choose to introduce himself that way? And I think Rebs and Cindy were talking about that in their group. I hear from their wording, you know, it's showing that he's like, that's it. That like it all began. Cindy used the word finalized. That's kind of like what Nancy was saying too, the Alpha and the Omega. There's a concept where God is in it all, even in the darkness, even in the chaos. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, right, of Elohim, is hovering over the waters, right? He's there. He's there. And so the question is, why? Why would, so when you are named, or when you are God and you self-name, and you name to reveal, and Frank says that you give, names tell us who we are and what we're about. Names, as we introduce ourselves to each other, give a small portrait of what we're about. Why would God choose this to reveal himself first? Right? That's something that you guys could think about that during the week. Okay, because I got a lot of ground to cover, and we're going to take a look at some of these concepts. Okay, Frank made all my words bigger. Okay. Right? Okay. When we talk about this word creating and making, right, it's a great word. Everything that you have from, you know, Janine has two devices, devices, you know, the iPad and the iPhone. And her eye water bottle, right? Somebody made that. Somebody created that, right? When we talk about creating stuff, what is the difference between humans creating and God creating? Talk about that in your groups. And online, why don't you just think about that or throw it into a chat? What's the difference between humans creating something and God creating? Give you 2 minutes. So you got to process quickly, okay? Okay. All right, that's 2 minutes. What do you guys think? What is the difference? You can shout it out. Okay, Nancy is selected. Keep moving. Oh, the thought, okay.
Thinking off of this group where creation was done in a way where there was no prior version of it.
Okay.
And we're starting to think about, and right before I move, thinking about creation that was good.
Yes.
For what?
Right.
My next thought.
Okay. For what? Mm-hmm.
Like, if this was good.
Right.
For what is my next
okay. Thought. Yeah, what is the purpose? Okay, but that God created with purpose, something like that. Okay, good. Any other group?
Bob said in the chat, and we agree with him, God creates something out of nothing.
Bob said in the chat, and we agree with him, he said that, okay, yes, we can hear clearly, great. I was like, wow, that's a good answer.
God can create out of nothing.
Yeah.
And whatever God created is good. And God created out of nothing. That's it.
Yeah, we also said like God's creation is perfect, whereas like human creation, there's like bugs.
Bugs, yeah, you gotta have an update. Gotta have an update. iOS update, man. Right. Oh man, technology, man. I kind of like technology, but not my drink. Then it's frustrating, huh?
Version 1, version 3.
Oh yeah, yeah. We have versions, right? It's like, I messed up on that. We gotta release the bug fixes, and we're gonna call it a new island, Catalina. All right. So that's cool. That's cool. God, so you guys said God created out of nothing. We create out of something. Who created the revolution, the iPhone, iPad revolution? Steve Jobs, right? We call him a genius in our day, right? But Steve Jobs created putting together material. He assembled material together. And I like what Bob put on the screen that God created. I mean,
I like the way Bobby writes it. He was like,
that's it. That's the difference. You know, God can create out of nothing. So in the beginning, God created. Prior to that, there was no such thing as an atom. There's no particle. There's no matter. I don't know if what Beck said is, you know, before light was darkness. Because I don't know if you have to have even particles to have darkness. What is that concept? Can you have darkness without matter? I don't even know. That's above my pay grade. But I like this. This is, so what does it make you wonder about when Elohim created out of nothing? Theologians call that ex nihilo, right? Out of nothing. Out of nothing. What does it make you wonder about? Feel free to chat. Feel free to talk out loud here. Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah, man.
Dude, I'm working like 10 laptops here. Yeah, do that. Man, I feel like I'm out of my element up here. Oh, I just want to talk. Don't like that. And the web version. What does it make you wonder that God created out of nothing? I mean, Steve Jobs had raw material to work with and to bend and to ply and to shape. He had pencils and papers to draw and doodle concepts. He would think about the material, the type of glass to be used, the type of metal to be used, and then don't even talk about what's inside this thing, right? All I think is the glass and the outside material. I mean, inside you got whatever, all that stuff that you guys know about, right? Huh? What? Justin's all happy. Yeah, I like this. Huh? Transistors? I can talk to you about football, man. Yeah.
You know how, like, for us to create things, it's usually a process of discovery. Like, you have to understand gravity. You have to understand what happens. Understand what this metal does, you know? And so there's a process of trying to understand what it does and then work with it.
Mm-hmm.
But God is more of the, I'm gonna tell you what that thing does. Like he has already set the function of things as mm-hmm. he's creating them. And so it's like, talk about boundless and like, where does he get this wisdom and like creativity, right? He just says, this is going to do this, and this is what it's going to look like. I mean, it's beyond us. So I think that's kind of the distinction, too, where he has literally declared what it's going to be, what it's going to do, its purpose, what it can and cannot do. And not as we just work with discovering the limits of something and then trying to be creative within that bound. So,
or we're limited within that.
Yeah. Bound. So the godlike capacity to create is even like, wow,
yeah,
like mind blowing. Like create. So there was no idea, no concept of it, and he created the concept of it.
Yeah. I like that you keep saying, I like that, Rev, you keep bringing us back to purpose. That even something he created has purpose. Whereas as we are creating, we're using pieces and working with their limitations and even transistors, right? Like, what can I do with a transistor? How small can I make it? What's the possibility of that? The first cell phones were like bricks, the size of bricks. I don't know if you guys remember those days. One of the young, yeah, Cupping remembers, right? It's like you hold it like this. It's like as big as that paper towel thing right there. It was like, it was like a brick. It was like you take this thing and you cut out like a U part of it, and you're like, and that you would show off. You're like, you walk around. You want to pretend you're on phone calls. Yeah, yeah. The only other 10 people who have this, I'm talking to them right now, right? There's so many limitations as you create your bound. Reps kept using the words like limitations, boundaries. God has unlimited boundaries, unlimited limitations. And yet as he creates everything, every atom, every cell that is created comes out with purpose. God may be going along that line. God doesn't call any cells to move without purpose. Just going along that line. God doesn't allow anything to move without purpose. Right? Any other thoughts? That's really good.
I think the other one is creation.
Okay, yeah. Good, thanks for moving me on. There you go.
To go back to your original question, it's like, it really kind of like mind blowing to think that he can just, his words is that powerful.
His words.
And then it goes back into like his word in the Bible is that powerful as well.
I heard Ryan say that, right? You said that, right? I heard you say something about he didn't use his hands. God didn't need to use his hands. That would mean that, I don't know what that would mean, if he had to use his hands. Yeah?
It means he's got shoulders. If he had to.
Yeah. But he spoke. Ryan said in the group earlier, like, God just spoke words. Can you imagine that? Take a moment to just think about that. Now, when God speaks, billions of cells move at his command. We don't even think at a cellular level often. We think events, we think of linear circumstances, but sometimes our circumstances are caused because cells are moving in the world. Whether it is nature, whether it is your boss, whether it is your work environment, like cells are moving at just the spoken word of God. I love that song for many years, just the just by the music nature of that song, So Will I, right? And that song, when Daniel led in our youth group, man, one of the lyrics says, like a billion what? Something like bows, huh? A billion galaxies. And it talks about, I don't know, I'm making words up now. Listen to the song yourself. But it says like billions of galaxies, stars, they bow before God. And so if even these humongous, ginormous stars bow before God and they move at God's command, the song says, then so will I. Then so will I. I mean, how dare I not yield and bow before God's spoken word? If even cells and something as small as atoms, as large as galaxies, stars, they bow and yield. And they, I don't know if you can say they worship. I mean, they go at God's command. And so if they do, the song says, then so will I. So will I. Wow. The first time I saw those lyrics, words on screen, I was like, I couldn't even sing. I'm like, wow, this is way deeper than I thought. Never knew the song was that deep. Right? And so if this is the power of his words, as Ryan said, right? If this is the power of God's word, how do you think God might react when we doubt his ability? We all have doubts, don't we? We all have like a lot of different doubts. I'm going to leave this something for you to ponder about in this devotional week, right? This is why we created this class. That's why we go. I have a nice breather. I don't have to take off my sweater because, you know, I'd be too hot if I'm panicking. If I feel like I got to keep jamming in more, we're going to take our time with this. And you get to have a devotional week to go to this website. And Frank sent it out on the email. I don't know if you guys have email or check email. Might be too dated. Can you just send it out on like Snapchat or something?
Snapchat. I'll send it on
that you use. Be real. Yeah, send it out. Okay, so Frank's gonna send it out. Be real. And whatever. And then, because we need to reach the other people who don't read emails anymore. They're like, what email?
Actually, texting, right?
I want you guys to reflect on that. So, right? I gave you some examples to think about and some group stuff, but I want to go to, you didn't make these words big. You didn't do that. Okay, look at this. What was I? Let me make the words big. In the beginning, yeah, let's just do it from here, my editing page. Yeah. Okay. Now you're talking to me. One of my nice hats there for sure. Okay. I forgot who it is who was talking about. I think maybe Peter, someone, right? Look at this. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. Look at Psalm 90. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Elohim, I think a few people mentioned this, is not just the beginning. He was before the beginning as we know it, right? We know that there was a beginning. What the scripture is saying is that God was already there. This is kind of mind-boggling. The beginning as we know it
We say God's there. God's the Alpha, the Omega. There's a beginning, there's an end. What scripture is actually telling us is that before the beginning, as we even know it, God was there. Or, and let me use it in the way you guys read English, right? I was using it the way you use Chinese. But we understand the beginning, and then God started to like do all his work. And we know that there's a beginning because it says God created. That's our beginning. God created cells, atoms, particle, matter. And what scripture is actually telling us is that before the beginning as we know it, before any atom existed, forever before that, everlasting before that, there was God. God is, I think Peter was beginning to allude to this. God is actually outside of time. Time for us is linear. God is way outside of that. Does that make sense? Yes, you have a
hand. I think it's really hard for my mind to wrap around that. It's so crazy.
So crazy.
Before that, like, you think like, oh, like 100 years, like more than that. Yeah. Like, no, it's just like on.
No, it's forever. It's ongoing forever before. Because God was not created. God always was. I mean, you might want to just sit around this week and go, what were you doing? What else were you doing, God? What could you have been doing? He's outside of time. This name comes up at the beginning of our time, but it's not his time. God does not live in time, our concept of time. What are your thoughts that you might have about this? The fact that he doesn't even live in time. He lives outside of time. He was before time was even created. Time was created because of creation. And then before that, he existed. He was. Everlastingly before. And he will forevermore to be. And that's so bizarre that our little entire span of the universe existing is like right here. And then it's going to end when Jesus comes again and sets in motion all that stuff. And then he's going to recreate the heavens and the earth. And then we, those who are truly saved, get to live forevermore with him and see what he's up to then. It's like this big, I'm like, where am I? Camera people. It's like this big, the timeline of creation to the end of creation before recreation forevermore. And your life is like a speck of dust cut in 100ths. And you're 1/100th of that speck of dust in this. That's your whole entire life. And we panic about stuff. How many things I wrote that we are concerned about have a time element to it? Man, this is so big, the words now. And you guys see now? Yeah. I'm like, whoa, I can see. Right? How many things that we are concerned with have to do with time? Where we're like, the deadline's approaching, and you start feeling that gut, oh, this is coming time. Oh, God, help. I need to get this done in time. What does it tell you that God's like, time? You're worried about a timeline? Let me tell you what I could do with time. Right? Let me tell you what I did in a yom, which is a day. That's a Hebrew word for day. Let me tell you what I could do in a yom. Because in a yom, in six yoms, God
in all of what we see by speaking. And like, God, can't you just, can you move your hands for me? Can you move for me? And God's like, why do I need to even move my hands? I speak and particles move. I speak and entire galaxies will move at my word. Galaxies. Do you know how small Earth is? How our galaxy, how small it is? Time, yes, and so just some stuff to think about. Feel free to read this, man, because Frank dictates that I like put everything on the website. And I try to put some more thought in there, because if you appreciate going back to read, not that I write very well or anything, but I kind of try to give a little bit of my thought process in there, so you can read a devotional. You go back to the website, and I want to encourage you guys to do that this week. There's a little bit more after I publish this, because I have to publish it, right? That's the concept. It's fancy. I'll publish it. It's just this button right here. You can see it. But I'm messing around with this right now. I was thinking about it last night. I didn't get to it. I would love to present it. There's a theological slant to it that I'm not sure I'm 100%, but I'm definitely down with it. Feel free to devote in this. You know, do your devotional time in some of these thoughts. That's the feedback that we got from you guys, that, hey, man, some of this stuff is so dense. Even the miracles that Frank went through is so dense. It's so thick. It's so rich. You just want to let it, like, soak a little bit more. You want to have a day or, you know, a coffee time in the morning. Your next coffee time, you know, skip that phone game. You know, skip reading the news. And just think about Elohim. Quick personal story for me. When I was studying this and preparing for this, and I was meditating on Elohim, and that concept of every cell moves at God's word, it blew me away. And I meditated on that for almost like 30 minutes. And when I prayed, I tried to pray this way. I want to challenge you guys to pray in a certain way. Pray an entire prayer calling God only Elohim, nothing else. Try to pray several times this week that way. Elohim, I come before you. Elohim, you are the mighty creator God. Elohim, galaxies move at your word. I want to move at your word, Elohim. I thought for the first time in a long, long, long time, when I prayed, I don't always pray for my physical healing. But that prayer, when I was meditating on Elohim, that every cell moves purposefully by God, I prayed. You know, like people, it's on announcements. And even Cuffy's sick of it. He's like, stop praying just for Alex. I mean, damn it, there's like a million other people that need prayer. And it's true. That's why I asked them to take my name off announcements. I'm like, stop showing me. Because Cuffy's right. Pray for other people too. And then people are like, but you're the pastor. People really care about you. I'm like, no, don't put my announcement. Chairman, stop talking about me. I don't even pray for my own healing. But that morning when I was thinking about this, I was like, the Lord. And I said, God, if cells obey you, you can easily tell them to be done. In my body. You could tell them to be done. And I believed it with every cell that I have. Every cell was believing that. And I was like, Elohim, end it. I'm going to ask you to end it. End the cancer. End every cancer cell. End them. Because they will obey you. They will die at your command. And I was like, that is amazing. Elohim. I didn't call him any other name for a prayer of like 5, 7 minutes, 10 minutes tops. It wasn't a long prayer. I called God by no other name but Elohim. And I kept saying everything that I was meditating on about Elohim. God, you are outside of time. I'm so worried about this thing happening in a certain amount of time. I'm worried about the timeline of my life. I'm worried about this time. I'm worried about time, time, time. God, you're Elohim, you are outside of time. So can I challenge you to do that this week? Yeah. I challenge you to do that this week. Meditate on these things. Feel free to just dig through this and have questions next week even, because we're going to have more to talk about. All right? Is that good? Is that good with everybody?
Yeah.
So thank you for being here. Thank you, everybody online. Hopefully you can bear with us through the thing. All right? Father, we thank you today. We just pray that you have spoken to us. We pray that you met us where we needed to meet you today. I thank you for helping us, Lord, to explore these names. And thank you for the feedback from the class that allows us to chew on these concepts a little bit longer. Elohim, we are floored that every cell and every galaxy moves at your command. Atoms yield themselves to you. They can't even help it. And if they can worship you and they can yield to you and they follow every word you say, if they will worship, then so will I. So will I. Fill us with a greater sense of worship today because of this and because of who you are. Elohim, we thank you and we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.